Good morning. It's Martina Longauer from Sightline Wealth Management. We're here mid-July 2022 with Warren Giroux. Good morning.
Good morning, Martina.
So, Warren, last interview that you have with Paul D'Souza in June, you did a great job mapping the main 5 to 6 macro themes, touching on all of them, a little bit in high government debt, Fed turning off liquidity, the obvious increase interest rates, deglobalization, and you know the big question or the big thing happening, inflation. Well, things are moving dramatically here, and it feels like things are moving by the minute, not by weeks or months at a time. Rates moved up since you had been talking, and inflation is still quite stubborn. Markets definitely do not like what's happening, so they're lower. So today, I would like to discuss why in commodity-led inflation that you had the discussion last time with Paul, we see now commodities oil down or at a low at or below $100 this week per barrel. I believe last time you guys talked, it was at $120. Precious metals down, gold and silver, obviously spilling this to equities in the precious metal space being even much lower. Is the space reacting to the policy that is being implemented? We've seen Bank of Canada increasing the rates by a full percent. Now the discussion, Fed has already increased some rates. Now they're going to have a meeting around the 26th of July and talking about anywhere 75 beeps to a full percent. So what do you think? Is it going to be curbed this way? Like when it comes to the inflation, where do you see the prices of the metals going, or you know, even oil and other commodities in short term? And I will also be, you know, kind of giving you the under the belt question with 18 months to 2 years out. And what are the catalysts that you think might be playing in this whole, you know, space and theme here? We have just to inform the listeners, we have a new, we have 20 to 25 minutes to, you know, battle this topic. It's not fair because there's a lot to unpack here, so for sure. But if any of the listeners feel like they need extra discussion on this, please reach out to the Sightline Wealth team with your additional comments, questions. And we would love to hear from you, from the listeners, if you have any special topics that you want us to you know, discuss in the future, please let us know. So floor is yours, Warren. Sorry for interrupting.
Well, thank you very much, Martina. That's quite a range of topics there that you're asking me to cover. But why don't we start off first by saying, you know, you're quite correct. The commodity trade has certainly been rolling over, and virtually every commodity sector has felt some downward pressure in the last, let's call it probably 4 months, 3 months, depending on which commodity you're looking at. And I think to sort of put this in perspective, I think we have to go back to sort of the beginning of the year, the latter part of last year. We were coming out of COVID, and basically the economy had shut down. And as a result of that, in particular, commodity prices, along with everything else, were being driven by short supplies and high costs for transportation. At one point, in fact, the cost to transport aluminum accounted for over 20% of the price. Ships are stuck at sea, if you can remember that, San Diego harbor situation. There was rail shortages with, or I should say staff shortages on rail transportation yards were held up. And as a result, prices rose. Since then, we had another catalyst to push prices even higher was in February, the latter part of February, when Russia invaded the Ukraine. And then all of a sudden, there was another premium put on all commodity prices in general. Well, in the last, in the case of base metals, it sort of happened around, I think, about the middle of April. We started seeing prices coming off rather dramatically. which sort of coincides with all of a sudden the Fed and central banks around the world were starting to become more aggressive on inflation and started raising interest rates. And currently what we're seeing today in the fall off of commodities and all commodities in general is fears of inflation and the emotional response to a slowing down of the economy. What's really interesting is we haven't really seen a significant drop in demand for a lot of these products, or the, all of these commodities, I should say. But let's just take a quick look at one of the metals that we don't really talk too much about, or a segment, and that is, we talk a lot about precious metals, but we don't talk about base metals. And if we look at the six main LME base metals, they're comprised of aluminum, copper, zinc, nickel, lead, and tin. Year to date, as of, I think it was yesterday, it was down 23%. So that's a significant drop from their from year to date. But from the highs, it's even better than worse than that, because most all these base metals had a spike in March and April. And we've certainly fallen off from those highs rather significantly. The other thing we've also seen, for example, the price of steel has fallen off about 37%. And also when it comes to iron ore, it's down somewhere in the neighborhood of 20%. And if we look at the individual stocks that are in the area, for example, some of the big names like Freeport-McMoRan, so it's slid off 40%, Rio Tinto, BHP Group, and Glencore have all dropped as well. They're down significantly, not as much as Freeport, but certainly have fallen off.
So since you are saying that there was no demand kind of collapse on those that you might pinpoint, would this be just the fear of recession? Like, yeah. Is the market just counting that in?
Yes, exactly. It was the fear of the emotional response, really, to the fear of inflation. Now, having said that, if we move along a little bit and we take a look at what's really driving this, of course, the cost of base metals was influenced by typical inflation that you would need that has occurred as a result of fuel prices, which has influenced transportation and actual production and so forth and so on. And it's also worth noting, for example, like aluminum. Aluminum is a very high, requires a great deal of electricity to actually do the smelting process. So it's beyond the actual mining itself. It goes into the actual production of the raw material into ingots and flat steel and so forth and so on that can be used in production of various products. So energy is a significant component, especially when it comes to aluminum. So there is fear, for example, in Europe, as well as in the U.S., that as a result of the high energy prices, for example, aluminum smelters may shut down. Now, I also noted a couple of weeks ago that there's some union executives in Europe, for example, they were speaking out about the high energy costs of operating various manufacturing facilities, and they were suggesting that many of the manufacturing facilities in Europe may have to shut down as a result of high energy costs. They'll no longer be competitive in the market. So there's quite a concern about that happening. And I think if you look at, let's just take recession for a second, there's a couple sort of, let's call it, I think forces in the recession area that are significant. One, Europe, I believe, is already in a recession. They're under extreme pressure there with energy prices, and it certainly has influenced a myriad of products and services in Europe. The other thing is China is still basically shut down from COVID. Some of the largest cities in China are trying to go COVID neutral or COVID zero or whatever they call it. And they're shut down. So China is not in the marketplace right now. There's been speculation that if China was to come back online, that demand would go up. And it certainly would have a major factor in increasing prices of these commodities or a resumption of the uptrend in these commodity prices. And that would include oil, the base metals, more than likely precious metals would be on for the ride as well. but it would certainly be influencing prices in a positive direction, or at least a turnaround from where they have been coming in the last or going in the last several months. So
given given the type of metals we're talking about, which are a lot of components to, you know, the electrification of anything, you know, for the future, do you think this will be something that will last for longer periods of time, or going back to the catalyst, or, you know, things that we need to see for this to be flip on its head? What do you think is the most likely happening here?
Well, I think there's a number of catalysts. One, as I mentioned in the initial interview with Paul, globalization is dead. We basically split the globe into two camps. We've got the Western world, and then we have the other camp. And China is, which is really against Russia, but China is sort of in between. And we noticed that several other countries are sort of in between. You know, just recently, Saudi Arabia mentioned that they're going to join the BRIC group. And a number of other countries have indicated they want to join that sort of group. So we have a bifurcation of the global economic system. What that also means is that you're going to have bifurcation of supply. And if we're looking, for example, solar, and just look at the metals that are required for solar, 90% of the rare earth metals are mined in China, 90%. And if we were to look at, for example, lithium, lithium metal is up 152%. And if we look at lithium hydroxide, it's up 128%. Now, that's in the first half of last year. So in as much as I'm saying base metals have fallen off, certain other metals have been maintaining a very high increase in cost for the end user. That's going to have a big influence on whether or not we can produce solar panels and how efficient they're going to be as regarding price, how competitive they're going to be to fossil fuels. And so I think the bifurcation is one. The second big turnaround event I think that could happen would be the Fed. There's been a lot of talk by a lot of analysts who say the Fed can only raise rates you know, maybe into the end of this year, first of next year, and then they're going to have to reverse course. And there was an interesting chart I saw yesterday that said that once we have spreads and corporate spreads, for example, beyond 6%, the Fed would reverse course. And one of the things we noticed.
Isn't that very expensive for them to service their own debt? They're like at $30 trillion right now. So it's very, yeah. The more expensive they get, the you know, the interest. And also there was a very interesting information with the decrease of the you know, Japan holding the US debt, like, you know, it's the trend is actually decreasing, not increasing, so they don't have that many bidders on their debt, right, as well.
Well, exactly. And what I was going to say was is that, you know, up until recently, the Fed, well, I shouldn't say that, it's been a while. The Fed has been the only buyers of corporate bonds, have been the buyers of government bonds. And exactly what you said is foreigners have not been big buyers of U.S. Treasury debt. So that means at some point the Fed is going to have to come back into the market. And of course, they'll reduce rates. And I think once we see rate reductions come into play, then that will be another catalyst that will probably re-stimulate the prices of a lot of commodities. And so I think there's a couple of catalysts there. You've got China coming into play, coming back onto the marketplace. You've got the Fed reversing course. I think those will be two significant catalysts that could see the price of commodities in general turn around. Now, that's sort of base metals, oil and gas. But on the other hand, food is another commodity that we haven't talked about. And that's really weather driven and also policy driven. As you have seen and noted, I think you look what's going on in Sri Lanka. They decided to adopt a policy of organic growing, and they wanted to eliminate the high cost of subsidizing the high cost of importing fertilizer into the country. So they decided to go to basically no nitrogen in the system and let's eliminate fertilizer and go organic. Well, the government has fallen as a result of it. Had they chased the president out of the country, Economically, they have inflation, which is absolutely staggering, if you can even find the product or food that you want, and the country's falling apart. We also are seeing in Holland and the Netherlands, the government recently, I think it was in June, passed regulations regarding the reduction of nitrogen through fertilizer on farming. And as a result, we're seeing huge protests by the farming community. And also it's had very strong support by the general population. So that's something also to keep an eye on. That just means if this type of policy, which is climate change policy, continues to be adapted by governments, and we understand Canada has passed a regulation or some sort of rules or something indicating that they want to do the same thing, hasn't been enacted yet, but it could very well be, it's going to suppress food production, and meaning higher prices for food. Right now, we need more food production, not less food production. And in the case of Holland, the government admitted quite freely that up to 30 to 40% of the farmers will no longer be able to farm. So That's lost production. So I think food prices are more sort of policy driven as well as weather driven. And now that we don't have the Ukraine and Russia available for sources of grains, that puts a big strain on Western production. And if we follow the climate change agenda, it looks like we could have less production, not more production. And of course, the impact on that is very significant in the third world. I read a report yesterday, I think it was from the UN, I know it was a couple of days ago, they suggested that without the Ukrainian grain supplies, which primarily go to Egypt and Africa, that there could be an exodus of up to 20 million people move in Africa, moving obviously to places where food is more readily available. And that is significant migration trend, migratory trend, and well, more there than likely has been, head to Europe.
Yeah, Europe has already, like the Southern Europe, Italy and Greece definitely has seen already the migrants moving in. And it's a big concern because it kind of increases pressure for Europe. So that's definitely something that it would be like a huge concern with already with the set of issues that Europe is facing at this point. As you mentioned, the recent Russian invasion is not helping the situation for sure. Can we now kind of turn the eyes and just talk? Like, I know that you talked about the gas, you talked about, you know, the base metals, and that was a nice point because, as you said, we don't really touch on those much, and the food, and maybe the food would be something that we should, put on the back burner and maybe do like a 20 minutes on that and just show some of our listeners what are the areas where, you know, they can kind of implement into their portfolios. But what about the precious metals? That's kind of for some, you know, clients, they buy it as an insurance for a certain percentage in their portfolio in pure form as a commodity only and forget about it. But where are they right now? And would it be some area that you would kind of be interested in at these prices, or how do you see that developing going like from this point forward?
Well, given the current economic condition and policies that we have in most Western nations, I think certainly having an allocation of precious metals is probably a good place to be. Could it go lower? A little bit lower, probably. Prime time is around the corner, I think, when it comes to precious metals. I think there's some interesting dynamics going on there. And of course, there's like most mining company or most companies that have to mine, take things out of the ground. Of course, there hasn't been much expansion as far as new supplies go. So there's going to be a scarcity as well when it comes to gold and precious metals. So I think, you know, as a basic insurance policy for future events evolving, I think, yes, it's a good place to have a portion of your portfolio, you know, 5 to 10% and just sit, let it sit there. It's not really one of those things or one of those asset classes that I think is going to take off and go to the moon right away. We just have to be patient and wait for it. The situation has not occurred yet where we'll see them move. But I certainly think there's a need for having an exposure at this point.
We had a conversation this week earlier with the precious metals team, Maria Smirnova and Sri from Sprott. And Maria was mentioning that with the current prices, even with the repricing of the gold as a commodity, they're seeing very healthy margins that the precious metals equities are making. And there's quite a, you know, unusual when we just turn back the clock and look, you know, past a few years back, there's like a nice dividend yield that the portfolio that they're running within the precious metals it's producing. Did you have a comment on it?
Yeah, I think that's the case with a few of these situations, particularly precious metals. The margins are looking very good there, very attractive, because what we're left with really in the case of producers are the survivors. Because don't forget, they've had a rough go. And the same thing in the oil patch. Up until recently, they have been under extreme cost pressure sensitivities. And because the commodity prices were fairly low, they weren't, you know, they had to basically improve efficiencies. So what you have left are the survivors, and every increase in the price is basically hits their bottom line to a certain extent. Now, obviously some of their costs have gone up recently because of energy prices primarily, but they have quite attractive margins. In the case of oil, the fundamentals are absolutely outrageous. I was looking at an oil stock the other day, Martina, and their earnings per share was higher than the stock price. And yeah, it had a dividend yield of over 5.5%. And it was only paying out 18% of the free cash flow in the form of dividends. So you're running into situations like that, where you have these producers that are making tons of money at these current prices. It's only going to get better as the price on basic commodities, precious metals, and so forth increase.
So talking about this stock, just to kind of, you know, because you just recently looked at it, what would happen to, like, would they still be making money? Because some, even the managers that we talk to, we have a couple that are not believers in that the inflation is going to stay here and that the, you know, oil is going to go higher. They're kind of saying, you know, and I'm not saying we agree with them, but they are saying that it will go much lower for the price. So I'll just entertain the idea that this particular company that you had looked at will see a $50 oil. Would they still be able to perform? What's the price where they would be kind of, you know, not making money per se?
Well, in this particular case, like most producers, they hedge their production. So they've actually hedged the production. So they weren't, when oil was trading, for example, at $120 a barrel that short period of time earlier this year, they weren't getting $120 a barrel. They were getting something like in the low 90s or $90 a barrel. So they have fully hedged their
How long are the hedges? Like when you're looking out, like what is the right now?
Well, typically from what I'm hearing, depends on the company, of course, but most often they're going, you know, 6 months to a year. They'll go out and hedge their commodity. So they want to have certainty of cash flow, and that's one way of doing it. Now, in talking to them, they believe that the price is going much higher. And again, it has everything to do with the supply available. And in certain commodities, you know, most policies when it comes to administrations is very negative. We've seen administrations basically attack the fossil fuel industry. They're also, you know, how long does it take to permit a mine now? It's like 5 to 10 years to get a mine up and running. And as a result, because prices were low for an extended period of time, a lot of these base metal companies, gold, silver, they're all in the same boat. They weren't able to have the CapEx to spend to develop new mines. And also because the way that policy is being adjusted almost on an annual or biannual basis, there's not, you know, it takes 5 to 10 years to develop a mine or a smelter or a refinery. companies are not going to spend that money when they have uncertainty of regarding regulations. So as a result, I think going forward, prices are more likely to be strong than they are to be weak, just simply because supplies are going to be short. And we can't rely, again, because we've bifurcated the global economy. We have taken Russia out of the equation, and Russia is one of the largest suppliers of natural resources in the world. They haven't developed them all, but obviously we have gone in, and there has been a lot of development, and we were relying. Look at Europe, it relies on Russian gas, for example, Germany in particular. So there has to be a realignment, a readjustment of our use of general commodities, and that includes food as well. And that adjustment period, I think, is going to be somewhat painful. We'll get through it. Prices will, I believe, trade on emotion right now more than they are trading on fundamentals, and that's the key. If we look at some of the fundamentals, as you pointed out, regarding even gold and silver companies, these producers are making money even at these levels. We're really, and they have great fundamentals paying dividends. We have gold stocks now paying dividends, which typically, you don't really see that often. So they are making money. They have good fundamentals, strong balance sheets, and yet the prices are being penalized on a daily basis. So I think at some point fundamentals will come back. And we've seen, recently Warren Buffett announced that he was buying oil. Again, Warren Buffett buys oil, he's buying fundamentals, right?
Yeah, and we are seeing that even the, U.S. President Biden didn't just land it in, Middle East to negotiate some of the extra oil for U.S. So we'll see what happens there. But definitely the supply is not looking, that rosy. So the price needs to adjust to it, despite the sentiment right now in the market where nobody wants to buy anything. Everybody's pretty depressed at the moment, as far as we can see, right?
They seem to be quite nervous. Every time someone speaks, yesterday I think it was Jamie Dimon was talking about the earnings and what his outlook was, and of course the market, before we even woke up, the market was down significantly, and it did recover somewhat by the afternoon. And today, of course, the market is up substantially. I haven't actually looked to see what the reason is for today's big move, but it's trading on emotion right now. It's not trading on fundamentals in many, many cases. And of course, the recession fears that everything is going to slow down to a bare bones minimum is what's driving this emotion right now. And that's why I say if the Fed sort of end of this year, first of next year, first half of next year, decides all of a sudden, as you point out, the carry costs of the debt, the fact that all of a sudden there are no buyers of corporate bonds, there's no buyer of treasury bonds, they're going to have to step back in, and that will turn, I think that will turn the market around, and we'll see many of these various sectors rebound emotionally again. Not trading on fundamentals, because the fundamentals today are quite sound. And so these companies can make significant margins.
So if we summarize the discussion of today, despite the recent repricing, and if we go through the, fertilizers to base metals, to precious metals, to oil, we are in agreement, or what I'm hearing from you, that these prices are likely to go back or even, rise more. And there's a few things that we're seeing, especially the demand is not collapsing. The supply is questionable with the type of investments that were done, and they're kind of having a longer lag. With the Russia being out and China kind of being still offline, and some of the other catalysts that we see. Plus, if we're seeing that Fed is going to reverse the course, the chances that we're going to see those prices, kind of come back and roar beyond is very likely. Is that a fair assumption?
I think it's a fair summary.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a fair summary. That's not to say that we can't see a little lower prices and we can't see a little bit of demand destruction, but I don't believe it's going to be significant to the point where it's going to absolutely devastate and take earnings back down to zero where companies are not making any money. I'm a little more optimistic than that. I think that, yes, we could see a little further decline, slight further decline, but I think within 6 months to, let's call it a year, things will have turned around. We will be, maybe we'll be in a recession. I believe we're probably in one now, but we'll be looking 6 months to 12 months out from that point, and the sky will be much bluer. It'll be a blue sky ahead, and I think things will turn around, and the fundamentals will come to the forefront, and we'll see these companies pop.
Well, thank you. This was amazing. I always enjoy our discussion, not always recorded, but this was great. So thank you very much. And again, for everybody who is listening, please reach out to either your own Sightline Wealth Advisor or one of us on the team, and we would love to hear from you. So thank you, Warren. Hope you have a nice weekend, and I'm looking forward to do this again.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure, and you enjoy the weekend as well.
Okay, thank you.